Good morning, LinkedIn friends, Value First Nation. Welcome to another episode of Value First AI Daily, your collaborative AI intelligence report. Happy Tuesday, August 19th, 2025. How are we doing, Nico?
Doing good, sir. Doing good. Per the huge, plenty going on. And a lot still a bit of GPT-5 heat out there, but I think it's starting to calm down a little.
Yeah, it'll get over it. Don't worry, folks.
That's what I'm thinking.
I do want to make good on our lead-in yesterday, which was about how companies suck at communication. And
how you really feel though, Chris.
Nico shared this great video about Synthesia. Which is an AI video avatar, you know, generator. I'm sure I could be calling it something more appropriate, but it was my first experience with a company that created AI avatars last year sometime, like one of the first video generators of any kind that I interacted with in any way. And I didn't like it. And it was largely because people were and still are in a lot of cases, they try to replace the important human touch points of the process with these video avatars because they don't think they have time for video. They don't think they're good at video. So like subject matter experts, salespeople, and using them in places where you're trying to generate leads and as the first touch point, right? And and as humans, like we want to have trust. And first of all, if you try to do it thinking that we won't know, like the trust destroyed immediately. But even when you do know, if it's at a moment where I'm trying to build trust in your product or your service or your experience, and I've never seen you before, and that's how you show up, like the first time, not the real humans or not like being authentic, right? It's just not the right place to do it. So I was excited when you shared the video because we do know that If an image is worth 1,000 words, like video is worth, you know, infinite.
Yeah.
And using that to help with internal communications, which companies are not good at, like seems brilliant to me. And because so much of that is that we know how we're supposed to communicate. Or what would be good forms of communication internally, but then we just don't make time for it. We just don't put the effort in. We send short emails. We send sarcastic messages because we don't think before doing, and it creates, and it's all asynchronous, right? So so even the best messages get taken out of context. And as I talk about it out loud, like one, it enables like seeing and hearing of the message, and so many reasons that video is just a better form of communication and we like it, but also like setting the expectation that we all have, let's say the company is all on board with this and we all have AI avatars and we're all agreeable to that, it like makes it more objective so that we can't read into like facial expressions and like overanalyze the way it's being delivered and body language and all this stuff that, man, that can send the best intentions down the wrong path when trying to get things done internally. So yeah. I was excited to see that, especially from a company that's been doing it for a while. I think they probably had to start where they did, even if this was the mission.
Right.
Right. Because companies just don't address internal communications like properly. But seeing them switch to you, it's such a more, for me, it makes much more sense as a highly valuable use case, in a much more like controlled, you know, manageable environment, instead of trying to show yourself to other humans for the first time with no expectations and it's an AI avatar. Right. I mean, what did you think when you shared that video with me?
Well, it was a matter of like, okay, well, here's two things. It's like, here's how far we've come with that technology in particular. And then a matter of like, oh, okay. So this, to your point, like this is going to become, you know, much more widespread. And, you know, I'd seen same as you, some stuff back when even NVIDIA was pushing this stuff. Right. And they were pushing like Zoom avatars and how like that was such a great thing. And I've even come across two people that really that use their Zoom avatar, their like whatever generative video version of themselves. And they, you know, they talk about how much they actually enjoy it. And, you know, that we were at the AI summit, right? And there was a video avatar thing there, which nobody really cared for too much.
Because
like even still, right? Like they get better in terms of the video and they get better in terms of like the lip syncing, let's say. But it's the expressions, it's the human expression that it's missing tremendously, which isn't just going to be, it's kind of like even GPT-5, like, yeah, the voice has gotten better. Like with Pi, the voice has gotten better, but still none of them are at that level where it's like, oh, it's straight up like you get lost in talking to them because it sounds so human, because it's so flawless, right? Currently, like, yeah, I do talk to them, right? And it's the same, like, and the only reason I bring it up is because, like, someone's going to put together, you know, the first, I don't know, what are you going to call it? Like, FaceTime agent or something like that, right? And yeah, that's going to be this point where, like, maybe you could get lost in talking to this video avatar friend agent that you have, right? It would be obviously like the first steps towards, well, I mean, we've taken some of the first steps, but it would be like, you know, having that Jarvis, you know, visual for you. But in terms of using it for work though, and using it for content and using it as like a shortcut to content, I don't know. I see it. Okay. So here's where I do see it, in the same places as where you see like blog, audio overviews. Right. So I see that being a good use case where you have audio overview, you can have video overview now. Right. And that would allow you to have, you know, technically, because it's like the newscaster for a particular channel can't be everywhere at once, can't be covering every story at once, but they could if it were in that format. Right. And so it's kind of cool because I don't know. I mean, obviously not for like article writers themselves still have their uniqueness to them. It's not like you're going to be writing for somebody in particular, but it changes how RSS works, right? Like your RSS feed becomes like way more, I don't know, robust basically. Because some people consume better by viewing, some people consume better by viewing and listening, some just by listening or some by reading, right? Or some by listening and reading along. I'm one of those people. I'm a listener, reader along, because it helps to keep both senses distracted. And yeah, I could see this as being like the next wave pretty much for news and blogs. Like I see it in that corner. But if you're going to be using it for like advertising and you're going to try to use it for like calls, and you're going to try to use it where you're going to shortcut. If you're going to shortcut where you should have a personal relationship, don't.
Yeah.
Wow. Like that's, if you're doing it because like, oh, I just want to save time. I don't want to have to be on this call or something. Don't, because it's going to come across. They're going to notice it. It's going to be like when you were watching Dragon Ball. 1 week was awesome. The other week sucked. And everybody knew. There's two animation teams going on here.
Yeah. Now, I think what this is, this conversation is helping me understand the boundary. And it's really like objective sharing of information is where this needs to be used.
Mm-hmm.
Because we haven't really gotten good at as humans as at like serving the other person in terms of how they like to consume content. At least only at the level of like news networks and media companies are they right. able to do all of the things and serve in all of the ways. And that's why that's where the consumption is. But like being able to, it's kind of like taking that like fathom, like summary that goes out that you know you needed to do after the meeting. And sometimes you get to it, sometimes you don't. It's okay, like that everybody knows that it's an AI generated summary and there might be mistakes, but the fact that it's shared and it's right after and kind of everybody's at ease because we're not worried about if the follow-up's going to happen. Was everybody paying attention? Did they understand what I said? Because sometimes like you can't, sometimes this initial communication, it's just like, oh, that's what you think. No, I didn't say that. And like you can solve for communication gaps like so quickly instead of letting it faster and create anxiety. Before I saw this, what I was suggesting to the people who saw value in AI avatars like this are the knowledge based stuff, how to's, where it's just a different way to deliver step one, step two, step three, step four.
Mm-hmm.
I'm watching this because I trust the company, not because I need to trust the human and the way that they're delivering the how to, right? Because I'm already invested. I just need to know how to use the product.
Yeah.
And the same reason we don't necessarily, this differs depending on industry, but usually, at least in manufacturing and industrial, you don't want a lot of flavor and personality in technical how-to documents. You save that for the blog and the marketing materials because you've got engineers coming in and they want to know in the shortest amount of time while being as in-depth as possible.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like concise, get to the point, but give me all of the points, right? And there's no room for fluff or like trying to like hit emotional levels.
Yeah.
Right. Which is really traditionally, that's why you would do videos instead of the other thing. You're trying to engage on this level of human to human if we can't be there. And I think that's where, again, the digital space has been unable to replace communication success in these ways because we could not replace in office conversations in this kind of way, right? This is a step closer. It's still not all the way to the let's jump on a Zoom call like for 15 minutes, which the companies that are best at communication are so good at doing that, like knowing when to do that and when not to do that and prioritizing it. Like if somebody's available, just my calendar, I trust you. If it's there, set up a call, and I know that we're gonna have. It's a good reason that you're taking up time on the calendar. And those 15-minute conversations sometimes do the work of like 60-minute meetings, 30-minute emails, days worth of email back and forth to try and figure things out. Right? That's most often in my experience. That's when the 15-minute call happens. We have like five emails back and forth. Like, all right, Just get on a call. Can we just handle this? Right.
Yeah. You end up with a pile, either emails or messages, one or the other. Right.
Yeah. So this is one of those long-standing challenges of that I think can have a huge, like, huge impact. It still, I have to imagine it requires a lot of, you still have to have a communication plan. That's the, I think that's going to be the hard part for most companies. Like, they don't even have that part, right? They just input tools and everybody starts using Teams and Slack and it just gets out of hand. And the best situations I've seen, it's where there's like a communication guidelines where message hits Slacks. If you don't thumbs up it, I'm assuming you haven't seen it, right? Like rules of engagement like that is what makes asynchronous digital communication work in spaces where you need to be sure that everybody's like seeing that message, right?
Yeah, so, I mean, I think that I think you have a really good point, especially when it comes to being able to help people with like technical know-how that without all the fluff, right? And without all the production. Another video that I saw and started watching but didn't get all the way into was, you know, just how much this type of stuff is affecting Hollywood. You know, I know people that do like, you know, they do like professional Zoom stuff. They do professional online stuff or whatever. But I also know people that do like these professional type videos where they'll take somebody's script and kind of like voiceover, but they have a really good, whatever, you know, look and personality and everything together. And like, that's their thing. Right. And I now wonder is like, does that become leasing? Is that now training data for like a model to be able to do that, right? Do you release your, so like that's kind of how I look at it, right? I look at it as the new form of voiceover. It's video over, right? So like whatever you wanted, which is kind of how a lot of these, you know, companies market themselves is like, hey, if you usually do voiceover, now you can do video with it, right? But yeah, I do see like too many of these companies edging into that area of like either marketing materials or like, you know, whatever avatar replacement, right?
Yeah. Wasn't that an episode of Black Mirror?
Yeah.
Where they licensed their likeness to this other reality. And
yep.
I mean, that's
there's a conundrum over which one is real.
Yeah. And that's what comes to mind because I just saw like an 11 Labs, like YouTube clip. And at the end, I noticed it was like, do all this cool stuff working with producers, artists, creators.
Mm-hmm.
So that tells me one, they're definitely positioning to make sure they're not seen as a replacement for those things, but there must be some kind of licensing situation. Cause I remember the first time we showed that last year, it was like, you know, you could get Arnold on the call. You could get Trump doing your voicemail.
I will say,
I think we used, Megatron. Was that go to, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
I will say that it's like, you can definitely still do, made up voices, but you also have to be very, very careful about like exactly how you do them. Cause I basically got shut down for a little while until I got rid of all of those. Which makes perfect sense, right? Especially after the whole like Marco Rubio thing. It's like, yeah, there's going to be a huge crackdown. So that is also another concern, right? Is as the avatar tech gets better, that also increases the probability and capability of people to deepfake, right? And I think didn't somebody like deepfake a CEO?
Oh man!
And like yeah. And like nab. I don't know, like whatever. It doesn't even matter the amount of money, really. But I mean, terrible that the accountant on the other end or whoever was in charge of finance actually let that happen.
Yeah. No, that's another layer of security. Yeah. Like, because there's already like internal company communications are already a target for spam artists in terms of making it look like the CEO is asking you to do something and they're not. Now, if it's a video of your CEO or vice versa, like, yeah, definitely another layer to worry about. The reason I'm not as worried about it is like, especially once they say they're working like at enterprise levels, it's like they probably had to do some work to figure this out in terms of how do they safeguard it. Yeah. And that could be as simple as there's an AI behind the scenes, like understanding what generated this thing, where did it come from? Does it match the other versions of this video that this person has been created? Just trend analysis and pattern matching at scale to counteract any nefarious actors that try to get in. But yeah, at the end of the day, is that easier than pretending the CEO is writing you an email? Like, no, it's not easier. So most companies haven't handled that shit very well. Like,
nope.
So let's not pretend that, oh, video is a whole new risk domain. Like, like, and that's why we're not going to entertain it. Because you're already, emails. Yeah.
Whether it's emails, text messages, like that, that whole arena is already getting bombed, left, right, and center. So yeah, it is definitely another layer to it. But yeah, I think I really like when I think about it and like what gets affected the most positively, it's just media broadcasting. But when I think about, so like, this is the one thing where I see way more negative than I do positive, because the only positive is like, it's not even content creation so much as, I don't know, content assistance, right? Like, that's really what it comes down to. Because it's, again, it's voiceover, right? Like, there's plenty of channels on YouTube. Excuse me. There's plenty of channels on YouTube currently that you can go to that are all AI driven. There's no person behind it. The content is read by AI. The video is all AI driven. And I'd be surprised if the channel wasn't run by an agent. So, it's definitely the case where like there's just synthetic content out there. No doubt about it. The other side of the coin though is like, again, like I see people that could get very, very wrapped up in something like this, right? It's like, it really is like the first, not really the first, but it's like, it's a really good, or I guess like better rendition of most of the stuff that's been out there. Like, even HeyGen is like really, I would say it's fairly convincing. They've got a little ways to go too, but like with VO3, right? So like the engines are behind everything are getting better. So it's definitely going to get to a point by December where it's going to be like indistinguishable, right? And that's when I really worry about like mobile apps that are going to adapt this kind of stuff. And it's an odd thing because this technology makes it so transparent to find and like know who the bad actors are. Because like the technology is so good and like has so much good potential that when it's used for bad, it's definitely not like a scientist or a PhD person or like a computer engineer or something like that. It's just some dude that managed to vibe code it and would otherwise be doing like day trading all day, right? The people who, that's like the next front and definitely like one of the topics that we'll get into eventually is people who don't actually do anything. And when I say that, I'm not talking about the people you might think. I'm talking about people like stockbrokers. Like, you don't actually make anything.
They don't create any value. That's what you're trying to say.
Yeah, exactly. Like, there's nothing necessarily useful in terms of like who could get replaced the fastest, right? I can honestly say they're being super, 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 they're being as respectful to stockbrokers in terms of like companies overall and countries overall as it has been with human translators. The human translation industry should not exist. Try to understand that. Even before GPT voice was out, Google Translate has been amazing always. Like, it has been crazy. I've watched people use it at the DMV. I've watched people use it in stores. It's amazing. I've watched people use it at the airport. Okay. There's no need for human translation. And yet there are millions, probably tens of millions of human translators who have jobs as translators. Doesn't make any sense to me. It's absolutely mind blowing. But it's likely because still the people who need that kind of service are a little bit older, or they are just like really alien to the technology, or like alien to the language so much so that they need the technology in order to bridge the gap, right? Those two scenarios make full sense. For everybody else, I think it's just a matter of like, again, just like the video, need that human touch. I got to know that I'm talking to a person, because otherwise there's some weirdness about it. I don't know. Like the Star Wars thing where you feel like you're talking to a droid. So it's like, the same.
It definitely depends on the culture, but there is a gap between localization and translation that's usually called for a human in the loop in those situations somehow. Especially when dealing with like corporate marketing and global stuff, because it's so easy to use a word that makes sense in English and then try it in some other place and you like offend them horribly.
Right.
But we are there now though. Like AI is good at that part. And just take this like as a one thing from today as we wrap up. Like, one of the things mentioned in the video was the ability to translate, like via these videos, right? Especially in global orgs. Imagining that at scale, where on a personal level, like English, there's a few languages that if you want to be successful globally in business, like it's in your best interest to learn English.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Which means you're spending more time, like, let's say, away from your natural environment and culture. Now you won't have to do that. So culturally, will this like let communities lean in to what the way that they like doing things, instead of like, can this counter? It's very counterintuitive as I say this out loud, but the whole concern about globalization and sameness, mm-hmm. right? This level of objective information sharing, truly perfect information, in that it's always available in the language you want, in the mm-hmm. format that you want.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't have to change ourselves to try and be in a place to receive like unbiased information. Like, that seems like a very, very powerful like layer of this. Again, it has to cause you as a business, as a global business leader, you have to want to create that world.
Yeah.
And like get over the fact that some people might not want to like learn English, right? And mm-hmm. that the work is on you and not them as your customers.
Right? As you were saying that, like, one thing that clicked is, and I'm not saying this because Duolingo, if somebody from Duolingo is listening, jump on it the moment you hear this. Otherwise, I don't know. Like, nobody, you know, it's not like enough people currently, like, who knows? I'm just saying, if you do it, you're the first. And if you ain't first, you're last. What Chris said, like something you said just then, the fact that you can now talk to a model, right? Or you can even do this avatar translation aspect, allows you to actually create your own like program for learning a language in a way that's never been doable before. Because when you learn language, and I'll try to land this plane quickly, when you do language, you have to learn based on the book, and you have to learn words, and you have to do these, and you have to do conjunctions and this, that, and the other. But if you learn language based on what you are saying, and you're able to quickly translate your sentence, and so you're easily able to hear the words and how it's supposed to go with the way you're speaking, boy, the game changes dramatically.
Yeah, it's like true immersion in the form of an app. Like, that's why going to the country and just immersion, like, that's the best way. That's how we learn languages as humans anyways, right? So we are going to land this plane. Hopefully that was helpful. And again, even with translation and localization, how can we collaborate with AI to add value to the people around us? Until tomorrow, man. Thanks so much.
See you then. Thank you, guys.